Hey guys, I'm your host Tara A. Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Kowabana, True Japanese Scary Stories from Around the Internet. I hope you're not afraid of the dark, or what lurks below, because on this week's episode, we're taking a trip deep under the streets of Tokyo. There have long been rumors of tunnels underneath the capital city of Japan, and depending on who you talk to, they exist for various reasons. But urban legends aside, many tunnels do exist under Tokyo, such as the water discharge tunnels built to drain Tokyo in case of flooding. But what other tunnels might exist down there? What's hiding within them? Find out in this week's story called Well in the Basement. By writing this down, I think those who were friends with me in the past will know who I am. If they find out, I'm gonna be in big trouble. If they know I'm still alive, they're gonna come looking for me. But I need to write it down. The existence of that well is still buried in darkness, and that's why I need to write about it. I'm not a good writer, and it might get a little long. It's not a ghost story either, but if you're interested, please check it out. This happened several years ago. A person named N-san worked as a rather young leader for a certain organization in Tokyo. Even today, this type of organization outsources their dangerous work to individuals on a daily basis. If the police intervene, then it's just like cutting the tail off a lizard, you know? But because of that, the pay is pretty damn good. I worked in a city that rich foreigners and Japanese often visited to waste their money. You might think that doing such dangerous work sounds cool, but in reality, all I did was go to the flower shop in my van to pick up flowers and pay the bill. Then I'd distribute those flowers to cabaret and other high-level clubs. Whenever you go to a cabaret club, there are always flowers decorating the place, right? Well, I distributed those. And at the same time, I collected money. Of course, I received 3 to 5 times what I paid the flower shop for them. 30,000 yen became 100,000 yen, and 50,000 yen became 250,000 yen. I was getting around 30 million yen a month. That was all I did in the beginning, but I went about my work seriously. The people I worked with were all sly old dogs, and because they thought I was just some young punk, there were a lot of idiots that tried to haggle with me. If I reacted with violence each time this happened, then I wouldn't get anywhere with my work. Although, there were a few I got violent with. But if they called the police, then it would all be over. I wouldn't be able to get money from them again, and I'd be in the shit with the organization. So at times like that, I would be persistent. The most important part was to never give in. If you drop the price by even just 1 yen, then things could snowball. There were times where they'd call me out with my van in the middle of the night. I think they were loading it up with drums and cardboard. I was told to stay in the front when they were loading, so I never actually saw what they put in. Then I'd just follow their bends. They'd make me wait away from the van when they were unloading, and then I'd follow the bends back home and get my money. job finished. I don't know what they made me carry, but in return, I'd make about as much money as I did selling flowers in a whole month. One night, they called me out again, but when I got there, I saw an unfamiliar face. Usually, I met with S-san, K-san, and their underling. But on this particular day, N-san from management was there, along with S-san and K-san. The three of them were on edge, and it was clear something wasn't right. When I got there, they told me to stop the van and wait, and then started whispering to each other. "We should send him back." "Nah, he's cool. I'm more worried about..." I heard bits and pieces of their conversation, but in the end it was decided that I'd drive. I had a bad feeling about it though. The hatch in the back was open, but I couldn't see what they were loading inside. This time it wasn't drums and cardboard though. The sound was different. It sounded like something heavy. What was even stranger was that this time S-san and K-san got inside. I always rode alone and followed the bends. Not only that, they took us out onto the Metropolitan Highway. The highway with the automatic number plate recognition installed. We usually avoided those during this type of work. The loop lines of the Metropolitan Highway aren't allowed to look down on the Imperial Palace, so there are several points where it goes underground. It's a little embarrassing, but while I'm a confident driver, I'm not very good at remembering roads. I have a poor sense of direction. I've probably used the loop line about twice in my life. Right as the car was about to slow down, N-san suddenly turned his hazard lights on inside the tunnel. S-san and K-san hadn't said a single word until that point, but S-san told me to pull over in the right lane. I did as he said. That lane was the merging lane. There was a bit in the middle like a sandbar, and he told me to reverse the car onto that, so I did. Then I turned the lights off. There were pillars on either side of the car, and even if the cars driving past turned back around to look, it would be difficult to see us there. But even if they did see us, it was probably best if they didn't get involved. N-san then drove off in his Benz. S-san and K-san got out to take out the luggage, but then they asked me to come too. It was the first time they'd ever asked me, so I had a bad feeling about it. I was thinking about how I was wrapped up in something way above my pay grade, when my back started to hurt. I was probably on the verge of passing out. "Why is it me and not someone from the organization?" I thought. But I later found out why. S-san had a key in his pocket, and he told me to open the door in the wire mesh with it. I did as I was told. About 5 or 6 meters inside, there was another door. Well, it was more of an iron fence, really. But there was no handle on it, and I couldn't find a keyhole either. "What should I do?" I thought, when S-san indicated another pocket. He pulled out two keys, one large and one small. There was a small stainless steel cover in the concrete wall, and the small key opened it. There was a cylindrical keyhole inside that, and the larger key opened that one. When I turned it, it made a large noise, and the iron fence started to move. It opened from right to left, and then locked once it was inside the concrete wall. It seemed to be designed so you couldn't destroy the key after entering. Before me was darkness. I turned on my torch to proceed, but soon hid an iron door. Forbidden entry. Japanese Defense Facilities Administration Agency was written on it. Strange. The facility was owned by the Japan Highway Public Corporation, was it not? But besides that, was it okay for us to be there in the first place? I figured these guys wouldn't be the type to make a mistake, but weren't there security cameras around? I was worried, but I proceeded anyway. Something even stranger was waiting for me. We opened the iron door in the same manner as the earlier fence and went inside. S-san and K-san started to sweat. The thing they were carrying looked heavy, but they didn't once ask me to help. There were stairs as soon as we entered, and they made their way down determinedly. The stairs seemed to go on forever. They occasionally stopped to stretch and adjust what they were carrying. When we reached the bottom of the stairs, a wide passageway spread out before us in all directions. It was probably about 10 meters wide. We took a short break. There were no lights and it was pretty dim, but in any case, we proceeded without light. We crossed over to the other side and turned towards the left. I don't know how long we walked for, but we stopped occasionally to take a break. There were no forks in the road. It proceeded straight, and every now and then, we passed an iron door in the concrete walls on either side of us. Then S-san stopped in front of one such door. "This is it, isn't it?"
"Yeah,
this is it." Imperial Army 13th Tunnel was written on it. The characters were written in an old-fashioned style. Can you believe it? Like, Japan only has the ground self-defense forces these days, right? How many decades ago was this tunnel built? S-san and K-san were dripping with sweat, and their breath was ragged. They stopped to put their cargo down when they opened the door and took another quick break. They said nothing, so I said nothing. "All right, let's go," S-san said, and then grabbed the end of the bag that was probably the legs. Then, the bag started to struggle. S-san was so taken by surprise that he let go, and a head appeared from the other end of the bag. It was a slightly chubby man with a gag in his mouth. I'd seen him somewhere before. But besides that, the fact that there was a real person, not just a person, but someone who was alive in a bag before me, caused me to freeze up. "Hey, he's awake!" Ihsan yelled at Kaysan. The drugs! Knock him out! Get him back in the bag! Kaysan replied that he didn't have the drugs, or something like that. The man in the bag continued to struggle violently. It appeared he was tied up inside, and he was flopping around trying to get out. Ihsan stomped on the bag and then started kicking him. For a moment, the bag stopped moving, but then he let out a scream and started flopping about again. Ihsan continued kicking and the bag continued flopping. Finally, Kaysan joined in as well, and the two of them kicked the crap out of him. I heard something snap two or three times, and it was no doubt the sound of his bones breaking. The bag stopped moving. The man turned and noticed me for the first time. This man, who until just a few moments ago had been acting so violent, suddenly looked at me like he was about to cry. Get him back in the bag, Ihsan said. Kaysan pushed the man's shoulders in with his feet while he pulled the bag up over his head. Even now, the memory of it is stuck in my head like slow motion. I watched until the man was swallowed by the bag again. I'll never forget it. Kaysan checked the bag was tied up tightly, and then Ihsan kicked it a few more times for good measure. That should be enough. We can't kill him, Ihsan said, and looked at me. Did you see his face? No, it was so sudden. I didn't know what was what. I answered the best I could. But I honestly felt like I'd seen him somewhere before. I just couldn't recall where. Ihsan and Kaysan lifted the still bag once more. But this time, they called me to grab the middle. The contents were no longer a secret, so I was one of them now. We continued down Tunnel 13. Unlike the wide passageway we'd entered from, this one was only about 3 meters wide. Our right side was a blank wall, but the left was spotted with staircases. The stairs were only about a meter wide, and after descending a few levels, we found more doors. I don't remember which one it was, but Ihsan told us to stop before a certain door. Imperial Army Well 126 was written on it. Or it might have been 128. I don't remember the number exactly. We went inside like he told us. The inside was rather spacious. It was about the size of a school classroom. In the middle, there was a well, just like the door stated, but it was covered with a heavy-looking iron lid. There was a chain around the edge, which was attached to the roof via a pulley. There was another chain attached to the pulley that, when pulled, would lift the lid from the well. I pulled on the chain like I was told, and slowly the lid opened up. When it was fully open, the two men lifted the bag. I knew what was going to happen. Nobody would ever find him again in this seemingly endless well that no one knew about in the middle of nowhere. But there was one thing I didn't understand. Why did he have to be alive? they threw him in. I waited for the splash, but instead heard a thud. The well was dry. S-san and K-san looked at each other. S-san pulled out his torch and gestured with his chin for me to look inside. He gave me the light, but it didn't reach the bottom. He played with the focus a little, and finally the thin beam of light reached the bottom. I could see part of the bag. As expected, the well was almost completely dry. I saw a hand. It was snow white. Not only that, but I saw the top of a head. It was also snow white, and smooth as a baby's bottom. The man I saw in the bag wasn't bald. I was confused, but when I looked again, another head appeared. Huh? There were two of them? I was even more confused, but as I was looking at them, the head looked up. It had no eyes. It wasn't that the eye sockets were empty. The face was completely smooth. It only had two small holes where the nose should have been. The three of us froze at the unbelievable sight before us. It appeared that it wasn't just the two of them, though. Even more things were crawling around them. What were they? Were they people? Why were they in the well? What were they doing? Suddenly, the door opened behind us and a person entered. Surprised, I dropped the light I was holding and stood up. S-san and K-san followed suit. It was N-san. He looked at us dubiously. S, have you finished? For a moment he was surprised, but then he quickly answered, Yes, sir. N-san looked at us, and we could tell he knew we saw what was inside the well. Did you see inside? We couldn't nod our heads or even say a word, but the fact we couldn't refute him was proof enough. Hurry up and close it. I rushed for the chain and pulled it in the opposite direction. The lid slowly closed. Don't start thinking about anything stupid. Forget what you saw. I tried, but the images were swirling around in my mind. We can't kill him, S-san said. Apparently, not even S-san knew why they couldn't kill him. Why did he have to be dropped alive into that place full of monsters? I didn't want to think about it. We returned to the car and left. This time, S-san and K-san got in the Benz with N-san. That was the last time I ever saw them. I finally remembered where I'd seen that man's face before. He was the chairman's third son, who had just been released from prison. Rumors abounded that he was a sorry excuse for a man, and he was arrested for botching up a job. I'd only seen him two or three times before, and though he didn't look like much, I remembered him being domineering and not very pleasant to be around. And so, being the son of the chairman, they couldn't kill him. And if they tried to hide the body, he would soon be found. So they wouldn't be found out, they decided to use me to to help move him. N-san disappeared about 2 weeks later. S-san called me and told me I should disappear too. The chairman had found out that they'd killed his son. Thankfully, I'd already put some distance between myself and the organization, and I was able to escape. I don't know what happened to S-san or K-san. It's been several years since then, and I keep busy moving around populated areas. I'm writing this from an internet cafe. I heard that soon you'll have to show ID to even use a net cafe, so this is my last chance to get this down. If the organization finds out about this, and where I've written it from, they'll soon find me. That's why I'll never come back to this city again. I want someone to find that well. Why do gangsters have the keys needed to get in? If someone finds it, then all those pursuing me are likely to get caught. I want to be free. But for now, I intend to keep running. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. And don't forget, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Tara A. Devlin. You can also join our Patreon for early access and exclusive bonus episodes at patreon.com/Tara A. Devlin. Kage, my newest Japanese horror novel, is also available on Amazon right now. So if you haven't checked that out yet, you can head over to koabana.net to find the links. Thanks, guys, and I'll see you again next time for even more koabana, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet. Want even more scary stories? Head over to koabana.net for new translations every week. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to koabana.net now.